I think everybody here has had a time when you've thought, why doesn't God move on this? I'm praying. Like the video of the couple that were praying for a baby. Maybe you've prayed for something and you just waited and you've prayed and you've waited and you've prayed and, you know, you're praying about it, you believe. You know he can, but he doesn't. And if you're like me, you ask the question, I know you're God. You could do anything. Why don't you do this one thing that I'm praying about? You know, it might be for you, it might be a financial challenge. It might be a marriage issue. It might be another relational issue. It could be a job. It could be a medical situation. And let's be honest, how many of us have prayed to God, why didn't you do this? A lot of us. The reality is, there's a lot of reasons for the different seasons in our lives, and people are waiting for a lot of different reasons. I had somebody this week I've talked to who was looking for the right job. They had a job, but they just really weren't happy with it, and they're looking for another job, and so they're waiting. Another couple that I've spoken to recently were trying to conceive, and they've been exactly through what that video represented. They've been waiting and waiting and praying and waiting and waiting on God. Others are waiting in the right relationship. People who are holding out saying, I believe God has somebody out there that's going to be perfect for me and I want to wait for them. But they've been waiting a long time. I know there are couples who are here who have a grown child that they're waiting to come back to faith. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And why is this taking so long, God? Don't you hear? And maybe the doctor has given you some news, and now you're in waiting. Waiting for medicines, waiting for the medicines to work, waiting to get another diagnosis, waiting for a test. If you're taking notes, please embrace this first point. Waiting season is never a wasted season. God uses the wait. Chapter 11, John, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. You're probably thinking, must be because he preaches about it a lot. Story, I'm talking about Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Jesus was a friend of this family. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus. Jesus has been to their home, came in, ate a meal with them, probably shared some lasagna. I don't know what they had, but I'm married to an Italian, so it's lasagna for me. They had a close relationship, but Lazarus got sick. The very first thing they thought of, we need to contact Jesus. John 11, chapter, beginning with first verse. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. You know, it shows you how intimate they were with Jesus. They didn't even mention their brother's name, just the one you love. Somebody who you care about, somebody who you have a relationship with, our brother, you know him. You're thinking, Jesus heals people all the time, strangers. I know he'll want to come and heal his friend Lazarus. He'll probably be here. He's probably around the corner. He's probably going to be here in a few minutes. Maybe tonight. But if he doesn't make it tonight, he'll be here first thing in the morning. And they waited. And they waited. And it wasn't that night either. They said, well, he'll be here tomorrow morning. I'm sure. I'm sure he'll come. You know, you start bargaining with God and explaining to God why you want him to work sometimes. You say, Lazarus is a good guy. He's my brother. He takes care of us. He's a wonderful man. He loves God. He serves God. He helps people. He's a friend of Jesus. He's a good guy. He deserves to be healed. And we do the same thing. We tell God, well, I'm a pretty good person. I go to church occasionally. I'm nice to people. I put money in the red kettles at Christmas time. I feel good about that. I deserve an answer to God. I deserve you to answer this prayer. But a waiting season is never a wasted season. For those who are waiting right now, and I absolutely know we have some people waiting here. I want you to remember two things this morning about waiting for God. Here's the first. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. I shared this thought with you before, and I want to just hit it again here, because so many of us, whenever we don't get an answer to our prayer, we immediately think, well, God must say no. God's not going to answer. It's not necessarily a denial when God is delayed. God hasn't answered yet doesn't mean he's not going to, because he has an answer to prayer right now, this second, this moment, this day, doesn't mean he's not going to down the road. In fact, in verse 4 it reads, when he heard this, Jesus said, he was telling the person who sent the message that Lazarus was sick, this sickness will not end in death. Then he says something really profound. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. God was going to use this as a means to glorify Jesus. Now, Mary and Lazarus didn't know that. When you got a loved one that's sick, all you care about is you want them better. That's all you care about. But Jesus had a bigger purpose. And Jesus kind of communicate to us, I know what's going on, you know, I understand, I still have the power that I could heal him now, but you'll see at the end, this is a different story than you thought it was going to be. God's delays are not God's denials. In fact, sometimes I think there is, these two words aren't in your outline, but you should write them down. This is what I would call, this is my own words here, a divine delay. I think sometimes we have a divine delay in our lives when we're praying to God and God is hesitating for a purpose. He has a different purpose and the timing isn't just right. See, many times God wants to do something in you before he will do something for you. You see, God's working on you first and then the things around you. When we began looking to build this building for the congregation, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we hit obstacle after obstacle. I don't know how many miles Gary Barrett and I put on our cars going and looking at it. Anytime anybody found a building that had a for rent, for lease, for sale, whatever, it told us. We saw every little shack, every little warehouse, every little everything in Marion County trying to go and find a place. And then we decided, well, you know, we're gonna have to step out on faith. And so we had some plans drawn up. They were really expensive plans. And we looked at our property, and they said, well, no problem. We can build you a 10,000-square-foot building. It'll only cost $2.5 million. And this old West Virginia boy's going, boom, 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 boom. And I had to stand before this congregation at our old other location and stand before the congregation and say, I can't in good faith ask you to do this. This is not God's answer. We're still asking for God's answer. And I'm convinced that we were hitting a divine delay at that time because God had a plan and a place and a price in mind for us. And we had to put aside our ideas and our thoughts and our wants and surrender to his will. And I suppose we were stubborn because it took us a couple years. You see, God was spending time preparing us to be prepared for a building. Just because he hadn't done it yet doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Mary Martha was struggling because he hadn't shown up. He didn't understand. God had a bigger plan. He had a bigger purpose for Lazarus at this moment. A waiting season is never a wasted season. Lazarus got worse. They prayed more. Lazarus got worse. They prayed more. They didn't get it. Jesus was healing people all the time, total strangers walking up, I need to be healed, Jesus would heal them. This is Lazarus, your great friend, you're not healing him, what's going on? Jesus finally arrived. But he is so late in this culture, it's insultingly rude. The meals have been brought, you know, the big food spread, somebody's died, bringing all this food, there's family to feed, and all the food's been brought in. The body's been wrapped, and the body's been sealed in the tomb. Now Jesus arrives. Not only did Jesus not take the time to heal Lazarus, but he came so late that it's been 4 days that he hasn't been able to comfort Mary and Martha because he wasn't there. The hardest time when you lose somebody is immediately. And he wasn't there to comfort them. It didn't make any sense. Verse 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. How many days? How many days? How many days? Four. By 4 days, Lazarus had begun to deteriorate, decompose. Verse 39, but Lord, Jesus is talking about the tomb being open. Lord, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. He's been in there 4 days. I love the King James. I've told you this one before, but it's my favorite verses in King James. He stinketh. He stinketh. Lazarus is rank, and on top of that, you understand the fourth day in this culture. See, they believe that the spirit, when you died, your spirit hung around your body for 3 days. And on the fourth day, it's gone. So if Jesus come back on the third day, they'd have said, oh, well, there's hope. But when he came back on the fourth day, he said, it's too late. It's kind of like Princess Bride. How many of you seen the movie Princess Bride? Come on, put your hands up. No, you all need to go see that movie, really. It's a classic. It was on last night at AMC. You missed it. In that movie, there's the hero who's Wesley, and he is killed, and these kind of bumbling guys get him, and they take him to a wizard, and the wizard said, well, he's kind of dead, but he's not completely dead. That makes no sense to anybody. But it kind of explains that Lazarus was completely dead. In other words, there were no three-day barrier there that Jesus came back for and the spirit was still around. He was completely dead. Jesus waiting to the fourth day, friends, was not an accident. He didn't just get delayed. He knew what he was doing. He was waiting on purpose for the fourth day because there would be no chance anybody would say, well, his spirit was still with his body and he was drawn back to his body and that's how he's alive. They waited to the fourth day to say, no chance. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Mary sat in the house. Martha's the extrovert sister. Mary's kind of the introvert. She was probably inside. She was sobbing. She was crying. Martha's a little bit on the extrovert. And maybe she was Italian. I don't know. I can just imagine Martha. Now, this isn't in the Bible, okay? This is the Book of Roger. But I can just imagine Martha. Hand on hip, finger in the face of Jesus. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Can you all see that with me? Oh, I can see that. I don't think Martha came up, oh, Lord, if you had just been here. I don't think that happened. I think she was ticked. I think she was mad. They sent so many messages. They waited so long. They prayed for Jesus. He could have come and healed them. I think they were really mad. I think she was really upset. Mary, you go ahead and cry. I'm going to go out and tell Jesus off. She had to be so hurt. She lost her brother. She felt betrayed by Jesus. In this culture, women without a male figure in the family didn't do well. She was scared. She's thinking, Jesus, you love my brother. You loved us. You've eaten lasagna in our home. Come on, Jesus, where were you? And like real friends, I think the reality of this text is so true. Let me read it again. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would have died. Next verse. It hits her after she's said this and she's looked in the face of Jesus. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. She still has faith. She's mad. Don't you ever get mad at God sometimes? Oh, I do. I have a plan, you see. I have to-do lists. And sometimes God does not follow my to-do list. And I sometimes get like, why aren't you doing this? She was mad. But she still had faith. And I just love the reality of this. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you did this, but God, I still trust you. I remember when our boys were young, they both were two teenagers in the house at the same time. Glad that's over with. They would sometimes want me to do this, want me to do that. And I remember these words. I've said them to them so many times. This is exactly what I would tell them sometimes. No is a complete sentence. Dad, can I? No. Complete sentence. And there were some times when I would tell them no, when they would say to me later, not at the time because they're mad and they're kids, they would say, Dad, I know you don't want us to do this. Or, you know, we asked and you said no. And I know you love us and I know you think this is the best thing for us and I'm really disappointed. It's okay. They'd accept it. That's our lives today, friends. You could have a situation going worse in your life right now and you say, I don't know how this is going to end, but God, I trust you. Maybe you're praying for somebody you love. You're praying for a miracle. Maybe it's your marriage you're fighting for and you feel like you're losing. Maybe it's a financial decision. You're praying, God, I love you. I know you know what's best. I trust you. But God, why aren't you hearing my prayer? Here's the second point. If God always met your expectations, he'd never have the opportunity to exceed them. Let that sink in for just a minute. If God answered every prayer you had, he'd become some pinball machine or some cosmic machine. You just plug in your prayer and you get what you want and life's good. But God doesn't always do that because sometimes God has something even better in mind. And you would never, ever, ever appreciate that if constantly God was giving you exactly what you wanted, when you wanted it, how you wanted it. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. All hope is gone. Lazarus is dead for 4 days. All hope is gone. He stinketh. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Oh, can you imagine when she heard those words? Martha's confused. He's dead. 4 days. She says, oh, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. She goes, I know one day the trumpet shall sound, the dead and Christ shall rise. And I know that's going to happen. So, yeah, I understand. He's going to rise again someday. Jesus smiled at Martha because she didn't understand. And then he said something, some of the most profound texts we've ever studied. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus is trying to get Martha to understand this, friends, and I hope you do too. The resurrection isn't an event. It was a person. The resurrection isn't just an event that happened 2,000 years ago. The resurrection is Jesus. And he was trying to get her to understand that this is so much more than just about an event at some point. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, it's me. Jesus said, with me, death is no longer the end game. That's what he's telling her. When I die for your sins, you no longer have to die. Oh, our bodies will die, but our souls will live on. Maybe now you understand that if God always met your expectations, he would never get a chance to exceed them. Jesus could have just come back. He could have come back on the first day. He could have come back on the second day. He could have come back any day he wanted to. He could have come back and laid hands on Lazarus and boom, he could have healed him. He could have healed Lazarus from where he was far away. He didn't need to be there. But he didn't do that because he had something bigger, something greater that he wanted to do with the situation with Lazarus. And it's far better than anything Martha could have gathered here. Everyone in this room can probably remember a time when God's plan was better than your plan. You know, I went to college and I thought I was in love with a girl I'd knew since high school. Can you believe it? She dumped me. And at Bible college, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and finally, I kind of gave in to God and said, God, I'm praying, but I'm not praying now for this situation. I'm praying that I put my life in your hands and my future. And I came back to West Virginia and I met this short little Italian girl. You see, God's plans were so much better than mine. We spent a lot of money on those plans we had. We prayed that we would get a 10,000 square foot building. But we ended up with a 15,000 square foot building at 1/10 the price that they had told us. It hadn't even been on our radar. God had a better plan than we had ever considered. Jesus came to the tomb where his friend was. I'm going to skip a couple verses here. I'm going to tell you as we go here. We're going to pick it up for verse 41. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take the stone away. Jesus said, dropping down. So they took the stone away, the stone, and down to 43. Jesus called in a loud voice. You kind of wonder, did Jesus call in a loud voice because these people who are dead are hard of hearing? Did he call them? But you know, it tells us real quickly that he said with a loud voice, and Lazarus, come out. I think he was saying it as loud as he could, so all the witnesses that were all around, all the mourners that were there could hear what he was saying. This event just didn't happen. They wanted him to know. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and the cloth around his face. God gave them what they did not expect. You see, if he had come back and healed Lazarus, Lazarus would have still died someday. But instead, he came back and rose him from the dead, showing the power of Jesus. He exceeded their expectations. And maybe right now you're in a waiting zone. I don't know what it's about. It could be for anything. But you're in a waiting zone, and perhaps God wants to do something in you before he can do it for you. Just because you're not married right now doesn't mean God doesn't have somebody down the road in mind. Just because your marriage isn't good now doesn't mean that it's not going to come to a place of submission to Jesus and exceed whatever your expectations were. Just because your child isn't serving Jesus now doesn't mean there's going to be a time down the road when he will come to know who Jesus is and accept him. Just because you don't see it yet doesn't mean God's not going to bring it about. You may realize that one day your greatest disappointment, please hear this, one day you realize God, your greatest disappointment will be God's greatest miracle in your life. The thing you think of the greatest disappointment about, the thing you're most upset about, the thing that was the worst thing that happened to you could be God's greatest moment in your life. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:28, my favorite verse in the Bible. And I come back to this verse a lot of times because after I've learned all these things about Jesus, I come back and remember this. Read it with me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Read the first three words again with me. And we, one more time. Last time. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to hope. We don't have to think. We know that God will work together. We may not see it in our lifetime. We may not see it during the time we're thinking of. We may have to look back years. We may have to look back a lifetime. We may have to look back a generation. But God will have his way, and choose to trust God now, because, friends, he knows better. He knows best. And he loved us first. Would you pray with me? God, you brought us together this morning, and we're here to worship you. We pray, Lord, that we begin to understand how you have a plan for us. Sometimes that's through a maze of things in life we never really truly understand. But you have a plan all along. There are people who are here that were at other churches or went to another church or at one time went to church, but they moved or they came to town or they moved south or something changed and suddenly they find themselves sitting at a seat at Ocala Christian Church. Father, maybe you have put them here by divine appointment. You have given them the opportunity to be part of a church family. Lord, there are people who are right now waiting in their lives for a myriad of things. Help us to have the peace to know that you're still in control, that you still understand, and you are listening. Help us to have the peace and the patience to wait upon you for those things right now we wait on. I pray this in Jesus' name.